إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله we'll continue the sharh of the book الرسالة by الإمام ابن أبي زيد القيرواني رحمه الله تعالى. The Shaykh says, وَلَا يَخْلُ رَجُلٌ بِمُرَأَةٍ لَيْسَتْ مِنْهُ بِمَحْرَمٍ. A man should not be in seclusion with a woman that he is not a mahram to. A mahram is the one who cannot marry a woman forever, like the father. Likewise, those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran in Surah Al-Nisa, those that cannot marry are forever. The brother of the husband is not a mahram to the wife. So contrary to the understanding of some people, particularly in the Yoruba land, that they don't see anything wrong in a man being with the wife of his brother. Maybe the brother goes out and it will remain both of them in the house, in the flat, even in a single room. This is a common practice with a lot of people. وَلَا يَخْلُو رَجُلٌ بِإِمْرَاتٍ. A man should not be in seclusion with a woman لَيْسَتْ مِنْهُ بِمَحْرَمٍ, that she is not a mahram to, and he is not a mahram to her. So both of them must be mahram to each other. The woman that a man cannot marry forever, such a woman is mahram. A man that a woman cannot marry forever, such a man is a mahram. But if he can marry her temporarily, such a man is not a mahram to such a woman. Like the case of the brother of the husband that we mentioned. Because if the husband dies, who is the brother? If he dies, the other brother can come and marry the lady. So which means this is temporary prohibition. So, and that's why when the scholars, they talk about the women that are forbidden for us to marry, they say some are muhrimat tahriman muwaqqatan. Some are temporarily forbidden. Maybe if the brother dies, for instance, or the uncle, for instance, the uncle of a man can marry his divorced wife, or his, or if the man is late, can marry his wife. And that's why it is not correct to say the uncle is in the place of the father in everything. Because the father cannot marry the wife of a son. But the same thing is not applicable to the uncle. So المحرمات تحريما مؤقتا and المحرمات تحريما مؤبدا. There are those that we cannot marry forever. And there are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. Then there are those that you cannot combine both of them at the same time. Like marrying a lady and an aunt. You can't marry them together. But if the aunt dies, you can marry the lady. If the aunt dies, you can marry the lady. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ talks about. That he forbade al-jamr bayna al-mar'ati wa 'ammatiha. He forbade al-jamr bayna al-mar'ati wa khalatiha. Combining a lady and a paternal aunt or maternal aunt. The combination cannot go. But if this one dies or is divorced, the other can be married. The same thing, one cannot combine a sister and a sister. A man has two daughters. Both of them cannot be wives to the same man at the same time. But if one dies or is divorced, the other can be married. And that's why we have, when Uthman radiallahu anhu lost his wife, who was a daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave him the other daughter. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that it is not permissible for a man to be in seclusion with a woman who is not a mahram to him. Who is not a mahram to him. Or who he is not a mahram to. So this is what? This is haram. It is forbidden in Islam. Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يخلون رجل بإمرات إلا كان ثالثا وما الشيطان. A man should not be in seclusion with a woman except that the attached party is shaitan. Except that the attached party is shaitan. So this doesn't mean, or it is not an evidence that I'm a God-fearing person, so I can be in seclusion with the woman or the lady. When Messenger of Allah said what he said, he was addressing the prayers of this woman, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is not any argument anybody can bring to say what I can be in seclusion with her, since my intention is clear and clean. So I don't have any ulterior motive being seclusion with her. No. لا يخلون رجل بإمرأة لا كان ثالثهما شيطان. A man should not be in seclusion with a woman except that if he does, their third party will be the shaitan. So this is what forbidden is not allowed in Islam. The Shaykh continues, وَلَبَاثَ يَرَاءَ لِعُذْرٍ مِنْ شَهَادَةٍ عَلَيْهَا. There is nothing wrong for the man to see the woman. لِعُذْرٍ, for an excuse. Huh? For an excuse. مِنْ شَهَادَةٍ عَلَيْهَا. Maybe he wants to testify against her. Man is like the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala teaches towards the position of what niqab is wajib. The scholars, they all agree that niqab, a woman covering her face, this is part and parcel of Islam. and this was practiced by the pious predecessors. The female companions, they practiced this. And this was reported by many scholars of hadith. Even in the state of ihram, that ordinarily a woman is not supposed to make use of niqab. As Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تنتقب المرأة المحرمة ولا تلبس الكفار زين. A woman in state of ihram, a state of ihram, must not put on niqab. Must not put on niqab. Niqab is a kind of garment or cloth that is used to cover the face. It is cut according to the size of the face. It's cut according to the size of the face. You see women that put on niqab, see the way they... So this is called what? Niqab. So Messenger of Allah said, لا تنتقب المرأة المحرمة. The محرمة should not put on niqab. ولا تلبس الكفازين. ولا تلبس الكفازين. And she should not put on the hand gloves. She shouldn't put on gloves. So this is clear hadith that forbids the women from putting on niqab. But does that mean they can't cover their faces while instead of ihram? No. Covering of the face can come in different ways. It can be what with niqab, it can be with other than niqab. And that was why Fatima bint al-Munzir radiallahu anha, as Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala reported in Al-Muwatta, she said, كُنَّا نُخَمِّرُ وُجُوهَنَا وَنَحْنُ مُحْرِمَاتٌ مَا أَسْمَى بِنْتِ أَبِي بَكْرِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. She said, we used to cover our faces. We used to cover our faces. كُنَّا نُخَمِّرُ خِمَارٌ. خِمَارٌ means غِطَاء, anything used to cover something. And that is where the خِمَارُ الرَّاسِ, the head scarf of the women, that is where it is gotten. Khimar is anything that you use to cover something. The word khamru is also gotten from there, because khamru intoxicant yukhamiru al-aqla. Summiyat al-khamru khamran li'anna tukhamiru al-aqla. Khamru is called khamru because it covers the brain. The one who takes it doesn't know what he or she is saying. So they call it khamru. So khamru, khimar, khumra, all is the mean what? Something that is covering something. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. They should use their khumur, that is the plural of khimar, to cover their juyub, that is the places that is open, places that are open in their garments. They should use their khimar, particularly the neck. So she said that kunna nukhammiru ujuhana wa nahnu muhrimat wa nahnu ma asma bint Abi Bakr radiyallahu anha. We used to cover our faces while we were in state of ihram. Something similar is also established from Asma herself. As Al-Hakim reported, Asma radiallahu anha also established that kunna nughatti ujuhana. We used to cover our faces. Wa nahnu muhrimat, while we are in state of what? Ihram. Wa nahnu muhrimat, while we are in state of ihram. So this is also established from Asma radiallahu anha. Then it is also established from Aisha, though some scholars, this Asar of Aisha, some say it's not authentic. And this is reported by Abu Dawood, rahimahullah ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha said in that hadith that kana rukuban yamurruna bina, wa nahnu ma rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam muhrimat. She said the rukuban, that is those who are passing, the passers by, they will pass by us. Wa nahnu muhrimat, why we are in state of ihram, ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِذَا آذَوْ بِنَا When they come close to us, when they came close to us, she said that what they will do, وَإِذَا آذَوْ بِنَا If they come close to us, they will take صَدَلَتْ إِحْدَانَا جِلْبَابَهَا مِنْ فَوْقِ رَاسِ عَلَى وَجْهَا So one of them will use the jilbab used to cover ala wajiha min fawqa rasiha, that is from her edge. She will pull the jilbab that she was putting on. She will use it to cover what? Ala wajiha min fawqa rasiha from her edge. Wa iza jawazuna, so when they passed, he said what? Kashafat, she will take it off. Because they are not allowed to watch, to cover their faces in state of ihram. But if the sadlu that they will do is something that what, they will not cover the faces, their faces completely, that is, it will not stick to the skin of the face, as if they are putting on the cover, this is allowed. Even for men, it was reported that Uthman radiallahu anhu was to cover the face. Sheikh al-Adwan rahimahullah ta'ala in Islam al-Sahih also authenticated this affair of Uthman radiallahu anhu. So, covering of the face is not which niqab is not something that is allowed for the women, but if something else they can cover as long as what. It's not something that sticks to the skin of the face. It's not something that sticks to the skin of the face like the niqab. So the shahid here is that if the women, they will do this while instead of ihram, that they are not supposed to do it, what do you think they will be doing outside ihram? What do you think they will be doing outside ihram? Won't they be putting on their niqab? Why did the Messenger of Allah say, لا تنتقب المرأة المؤرمة? The mu'rima should not make use of niqab. If not, it was something that was commonplace, that the women would cover their faces. The issue of the women covering their faces is not something that is controversial among the scholars. Huh? Now, is it wajib or not wajib? This is what the scholars discuss. But covering the faces, is it Mashroor or Ghairu Mashroor? This, there is no scholar that is going against, except in the recent time, that some people who have been carried away by the Western mentality, they are trying to promote this evil in the society. They are trying to promote this in the society. So we have people like Qasim Amin and many others who promoted this in the last century. And people like Huda Sha'rawi, a female, who also champion things like this. So a lot of people like that, they came out because of the influence. Some of them, they studied in France, some of them in Britain and the like. So when they came back to their countries, they started seeing women covering their faces as a kind of retrogression. So they started calling for what? The women emancipation, that the women should be free. As if with the covering of the faces, the women are not free. As if with the covering of the faces, the women cannot trade. And things like that. So they want to turn the women to objects of what? Of sale. So that what they can display them for those who want to commit zina, with them. So, and things like that. And this is what is happening in their country today. So, covering of the face by the women, or the faces by the women, is not something that is new in Islam. It's not something that is new. In fact, the people that you say that they are Mubtadi'a, when you look at their book, you see that they are also establishing this. That is, those people that want to say, okay, they are not really people of Sunnah, when you are talking about the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah or Jama'ah. Even those that you say, okay, they are somehow permissive in some of these things, you see. So when you check most of the books of the Malikiyah, the Shafi'iyah, the Hanafiyah, the Hanabila, you see all of them talking about the women covering their faces. And most of them are establishing that it is composed in those books. Al-Ghazali in his Ihya said, watch, it is compulsory on the women to want to cover their face. So many of them, you see the establish. Whether you say it's compulsory or so, it is something that is recommended. Now, it's like the Sheikh tilts towards the position of those who say it is what? Compulsory. And that's why he said, yeah, that there is no harm. There is no harm if it sees the other for a reason. Because he wants to testify against her. Now, a woman that is going to court, the scholars, they all agree that if, for instance, she's going to court or something like that, then in that case, she can remove what? The niqab in that place, so that they will know the person that is what? That is testifying, or the person that they are testifying against, or something that involves buying and selling at times. So all these scholars, they will say what is the exception. Now some people, they will do tashajjud on things like that. No, that is what is haram. No, the scholars, they differentiate between areas of necessity. So if there is a need for a woman to take off the niqab, for instance, maybe because of the case of witnessing or because of medical issue and things like that, something necessary, she can take it off. So that issue will be concluded. But for us to say no, it is haram, no, this is not, it's not the position of the scholars. So, and this is what the Sheikh is referring to here, that la basa, there is nothing wrong, and yaraha, for an ajnabi to see the one who is not his mahram, li'udhrin, for a reason, min shahadatin alayya, because he wants to testify against her. Because if you are testifying against somebody, you don't know the person that you are testifying against. It may be that it's another person that is what? In the niqab. Huh? And that's why it is a kind of tashaddud for some of the women that go to the universities, for instance. Now you have gone there, so and they want to know the person in the niqab. Maybe, for example, so no, a man can't see me, it must be a woman. Yes, it is good that it's a woman that sees you. But are they going to know the one who is in the niqab? Are you impersonating somebody or not? They can't really tell. So it is good if they can provide a woman, but let's assume that you don't provide a woman, it is a man. Is that permissible? Yes. A doctor who wants to attend to a woman and she's using the niqab, and maybe he has to attend to something in her that warrants her taking off the niqab, all this will not be necessities. All this will be necessities. So, and this is what the Sheikh is saying here, لا بأس أن يراها, there is nothing wrong if it is يعذرين فإذا من شهادة عليها أو نحو ذلك, or something similar. أو إذا خطبها, or if he proposes to her. Somebody wants to propose to a lady, and the lady is what? منقبة. Huh? If the man cannot bear to just marry her without seeing her, in that case, it is what? Mashru for her to take off the niqab, so that the man can see the person that he's going to propose to, whether he will like her or not. Because looking at the face of the woman that you want to propose to is something that is mashru, in fact, it's something that is mustahab. Why? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was told by an Ansari, by a man that he proposed to one of the Ansari lady, what did he say? Anadalta ilayha? Did you look at her? فَإِنَّ فِي عَيُونِ الْأَنصَارِ شَيْئًا. Because there's something in the eyes of the Ansar. He told another man, أَلْنَظَرْتَ إِلَيْهَا, then you look at her, فَإِنَّهُ أَحْرًا يُدَمَ بَيْنَكُمَا. Look at her, this is what will make your love, your relationship last. But for somebody to say, okay, no, you can't see my lady or my daughter, or for somebody to go and bring the picture of the daughter, that this is my daughter, she's putting on the cup. Look at the picture. If you like the picture, this is what? This is Tashad Pit. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the clear term, say, أَنَّ ذَوْتَ إِلَيَّا فَإِنَّ فِي عَيُونِ الْأَنْظَارِ الشَّيْئًا أَنَّ ذَوْتَ إِلَيَّا فَإِنَّهُ أَحْرَى يُدَمَى بَيْنَكُمَا. The other companion said, "What? خطبت إمرأة فجعلت أتخبأ لها وتخبأ لها حتى رأيت ما دعاني إلى نكاحها وتزوجها فتزوجتها." He said, "I proposed to a woman." After the proposal, the man did not make do with that. He was still looking at the woman, but secretly now. He had looked at her in the first time. At the first time he had looked at her, but he had not been convinced, satisfied. So he was trying to look at some other things. He said, "What? Hatta ra'aytu ma da'ani, until I saw what invited me ila nikahia, to go." Because proposal is not abdu, as we have always said. Proposal, you can propose to a woman, you are just Khatib ibn al-Khutab. The lady may what? May say, okay, I'm not interested anymore. Because open abdu has not taken place. Just as if you also propose, that doesn't mean abdu. You are free to say what? You can't go continue with this. But on condition that what, you are not in speculation and things like that, you are not going around, going together, Mr. Biggs and Pantelizer and the like. So if you want to know whether the woman is good, you have to do what? Do that secretly. Maybe you do what? You'll be washing up. But for to say, okay, this is my future partner, you'll be introducing her to friends and the like, my future partner. So this is what is unacceptable in Islam. But for one to look at the face of the person that you want to marry, who when she's using what? Niqab. This is what? Mashru. In fact, mustahab. This is mustahab. So she will have to take that off. And this is what the Sheikh is what is referring to. But this must not be in speculation. It must be what? Because the Sheikh has said what? وَلَا يَخْلُوا رَجُلُ بِإِمْرَاتٍ لَيْسَتْ مِنْ بِمَحْرَمٍ. It shouldn't be in speculation. Now I'm not in speculation with a lady. Can I see her face? It's not permissible according to what? The position of the Sheikh is not permissible to see the face of the woman. Except in these cases. But which one is worthier? Must a woman that is baligha be composed on her to cover her face? As I said, it's a controversial issue that cannot be resolved. Cannot be resolved. Because if you take it even from the companions, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it's clear from his position that what? The face of the woman should not be seen. Except by those that are entitled to what? To that. And that was why he said what? Azina, zina tani. Zinatun zahiratun. La yara. Zinatun zahiratun wa zinatun batina. Said zina zahira al batina la yara illa tawj. This is for the husband. He said, as for the zina that is what? That is zahira. He said what? Kasiyam. Like the garment. You know the clothes that the woman put on is zina. The clothes that you all put on is what? زينة خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد. So he says what that verse وكل المؤمنات يغضبن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها. So from there he said what زينة ظاهرة ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها. So he said what that is afia the garment. So the other zina that Allah said they should not expose is what zina batina. Is a zina that is what that is a batina. So like the face and the likes. Now the other report from Abdullah ibn Abbas was Allah, and though a lot of scholars who of the opinion that niqab is wajib, they question the authenticity of that. That is what al wajhu wal kafan. He said it is not authentic from Abdullah ibn Abbas or Allah. However, Sheikh al-Albani authenticated it. Likewise, something similar was reported from Aisha. He also said that it's not authentic from her. Something similar is also reported from Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhumah. So, those scholars who say niqab is wajib, they said all these are some that you are bringing. Some of them are not authentic. Some of them that are authentic, they are talking about what can be seen by those who are relatives of the women, not those who are what ajami, or those things that are permissible before the verse of what ya ayyuhan nabiyyu qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minin yudnina 'alayhinna min jalabibihinna, before this verse was revealed. So, and when you go back to the books of Tafsir, for instance, now, the verse, وَكُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. So, those scholars of Tafsir, they would say what the wajib is not aura. But the same scholars, if you go back to what, to Surah Al-Ahzab, when they are interpreting the verse of what, يُبْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِبِهِنَّ. When they are interpreting that, they will be bringing an affair of scholars who are of the opinion that it is what composed for the women to cover their faces. Are you with me? Yeah. So they will bring that of what? That of Abida Salmani. Abida Salmani was a Tabi'i Mukhadram. So one of the Tabi'i that they said what existed during the time of the Messenger, but it did not see in. But we almost met the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they say it's what Tabi'i Mukhadram. So Abida Salmani. Some people will say what Ubaidah, but this is wrong. It's Abida Salmani. So Abida Salmani, when he was asked to explain the verse, Yudnina alayhinna nijala bihinna. So he cover the face, but he exposed what? An eye. So this, he must have watched. Gotten from the companions. Something similar was ascribed to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. But this, because of it contained somebody that is called Ali ibn Abi Talha. Ali ibn Abi Talha, so did not report from Abdullah ibn Abbas directly. It was through a wasitah. There was a kind of link between him and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So some said at times when he reported from Masruq, I reported from Mujahid as well. So that his tafsir was not direct. But some scholars, or a lot of scholars, they make use of his tafsir, people like Ibn Taymiyyah and the likes. So, and most scholars who say niqab is wajib, they make use of what? The tafsir of Ali ibn Abi Talha. Sheikh al-Albani rahmahullah said what that asar is da'if. Now, and many other people, who the scholars of Tafsir will bring, like Al-Tabari or Al-Qurtubi, Ibn Kathir and others. So, but the shah idea is that we should know that this issue of niqab is something that is established in the deen. It's something that is established in the deen. Now, is it compulsory, not compulsory? This is something that is a different case. Now, when some say what khimar is what is the ta'ur ras. Like in the Arabic language, this cap that I'm putting on now, they call it what? Khimar. Can they call what? Khimar. Huh? Well, that means that a woman can put on cap the way I'm putting it and leave her neck, part of her head and things like that exposed? No. Allah said what? وَلْيَدْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جُيُوبِهِنَّ. Their own head tie must cover what? Cover their juyub. So that is what? The khimaru shari that Allah wants them to use. Are you with me? Now there is khimar in the Arabic language, which means what? Ghita'ur ras, what you use to cover the edge. Huh? But the one that the Sharia wants the women to use, وَلْيَدْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جُيُوبِهِنَّ, should cover what? The juyub. Jab is anything caught, like the one in the neck and things like that. So it must be... Now, must it cover the face? Must it cover the face? That is the Shari'i khimar. Must it cover the face? Those who say the cup is white, they say yes, it must also cover what? The face. That is part of what? The Sharia definition of what? Khimar. What is the evidence? They will say, okay, Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was left behind in one of the expeditions that they went, so and she came back to the place that she was sitting, and she decided to remain there, that maybe they will come back and pick her, because the aldarch, the cat that was carrying her, had been taken away. Those who took it away thought it was what? She was in that cat. They never knew that she had not entered it. So she remained seated there. As she was there, she just heard, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And she woke up. So she saw somebody called Safwan bin Mu'attal. Safwan bin Mu'attal would always be the last man to leave the battlefield. He would be the one to look at things that the Muslims have forgotten and left behind. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, watch. فَخَمَّرْتُ وَجْهِ بِجِلْبَابِ فَخَمَّرْتُ وَجْهِ بِجِلْبَابِ. Huh? I covered my face with what? With my jilbab. She said, وَكَانَ قَدْ رَآنِي قَبْلَ الْحِجَابِ. Safwan bin Mu'attal had seen me before hijab, that is, before hijab was made compulsory. So when he saw her, he recognized her, that this was Aisha radiallahu anha. But hijab had been made compulsory. She said, well, fakhar not to wear the jilbab. I covered my face with what? With my jilbab. The word khimar was used there. So those scholars, they said, khimar can also mean what? Something that you used to cover the face. Then if you go back to what Fatima bint Qais radiallahu anha said, that was, kunna mukhammir wujuhana. Kunna mukhammir wujuhana. And that's why you see those scholars who argue and say what? Khimar, the legal khimar, must cover the face of a woman. Or now you say what? Khimar in the Arabic language means what? Khita. So if it is used for the head, it means what? Khita ur-ras. Now if it is used in the Sharia, Allah say what? وَلِيَدْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جُيُوبِهِنَّ. Should cover the juyub. Is the face inclusive? Huh? Those scholars said what? It is inclusive. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala said, no, that is wrong. I can use a khimar also what? Means something that will cover the face. Khimar is what? Is gifa uras. Then they go back to the dictionary to say what? Khimar is what? Gifa uras. Those scholars say, we are not talking about what? The dictionary definition of khimar. We are talking about what? The shari. It's just like when this man in Lagos there was using what? Jilbab to mean what? Coach is what? Is jilbab. Sheikh is what? Jilbab. Those who do not understand what he was saying, this is stupidity. No, he's talking language now. In the language, when you say jilbab, jilbab means what? Sheikh. It means the jalabiya that you put on. It means coach. It means jilbab in the Arabic language. So when you pick al-wasit now, it gives you about 8 minutes of what? Of jilbab. But the jilbab, out of the minutes, which one is Allah talking about? And that's why Ibn Azm said what? Wal jilbab fi lughati al-arabi allati khatabana biha al-sha'ri. The jilbab in the Arabic language that the Sharia has spoken with us with is what covers the edge down towards the toes. It covers every part of the body. So when they say what is jilbab of a woman? Jilbab of a woman is the garment that covers every part of the body. Not just the one that what? So it's what a woman will put on that will cover her body, that will make her look Islamic when she one sees her. So what I'm trying to tell us there is that it's something that is controversial among the scholars. But they all agree that what is something that is part and parcel of it. And they only disagree on whether it is compulsory or it's not compulsory. So, and this shouldn't be a matter of maybe one attacking the other, as long as what? But it's room for difference of opinion, particularly in matters like this. So, but they all agree it is something that is part and parcel of the deen, whether compulsory or mustahab. So the Sheikh said, وَلَظَافًا يَرَى لِعُذْرِ مِنْ شَهَادَةٍ عَلِيَا وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ أَوْ إِذَا خَطَبْهَا وَأَمَّا الْمُتَجَلَّ وَأَمَّا الْمُتَجَلَّ. المتجلَّ means a woman that is not interested in, that has become what? Old. فَلَوْ أَنْ يَرَى وَجْأَهَا عَلَى كُلِّ حَال. The man can see a face in all situations. That is not composed on how to cover the face. The man can see her face because she's what? Mutajalla. People are not interested in her. And that's why the verse from Tawail, Minan Nisai, Lati Layar Juna, Nikahan, Falaysa Alayhinna Juna, An Yada'na Siyabahun, Ghayra Mutabarrijatin Bizina. Ghayra Mutabarrijatin. وَأَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْنَ خَيْرٌ لَهُنُ. Allah says the qawaij, that is those women that have reached menopause, men are no more interested in them, there is no sin on them. أَنْ يَضَعْنَ ثِيَابَهُنَّ. He said what? The thiyab is what? The niqab. The thiyab is what? Is the niqab. غَيْرَ مُتَبَرِّجَاتٍ بِالزِّينَ. What doesn't mean what? They should be exposing other zina that they are hiding. وَعَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْنَا خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ. But if they can really far to come and cover their faces, that is better. So one of the salaf from among the tabi'un, she was asked that, why are you covering your face and what we are a point? That is, we have reached this age of menopause. Allah has said what al qawaid al nisa illa tila rajuna nikan fa alaysa alayhinna junahuna yada'na thiyabahunna ghayra mutabarrijatin bizina. Your qawaid, why are you? She said to those people, she said what? Akmilu al ayah, complete the verse. And when the verse was completed, wa yasta'fifna khayra lahunna. She said what? I would prefer that. Now an old woman covering her face. Then today you see what young ladies going against this. Now the man who wrote this book now, Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawan rahimahullah ta'ala, I left this world more than 1,000 years. So the issue of whether niqab or no niqab is not something of what, it's not a new thing. This book is the book of the Maliki. Any person that calls himself a Maliki in this country, this is one of their greatest books. So how can you now be opposing what? Niqab. all in the name that what some people don't like it, the West don't like it. So it is the West that what that will dictate what you wear and what you not wear. And they will tell you that what dressing doesn't mean anything. But they will tell you what to wear again. That is contradiction. They are Tepo Ahuna. Those that have copied them, you say, well, Tepo is in the art. Okay, let me put all my niqab now. Since it doesn't mean you can watch, you can expose your thighs and you can expose your chest. So you have freedom of it. Okay, I also have freedom to put on niqab. No, you are enslaving women when you ask them to put on niqab. You have to emancipate the women. This is what Tanakhud. Those women who are putting on niqab in the Arab world, do they tell you that they are being enslaved? They didn't tell you that. But you are trying to force the government to ban the use of niqab. Somebody who allows, or the government that allows homosexuality, lesbianism, they allow those who want to go out in pants to go. All those who want to remain naked, as they do attempts in Britain, I saw one last year or so, they all went to the beach naked. They said, because it is maybe autumn, they are welcoming autumn or something like that. Naked. And the government didn't speak against that. But when somebody is trying to cover our face, to cover our nudity and things like that, so oh, this is what tashabbuh. You are what? You are extremists, you are this, you are that. What I'm trying to say in essence is that people, you see them, they will say something, but they are just, what their statement is just to watch, to fool people. They know where they are going. What they are going is that what? They want to make the women, the Muslim women, nude. They want to make them throw away their religion. But they will not come that, well, there is freedom of so and so. When they say there is freedom, they will not stick to that. When you say there is freedom, there should be people who watch. Those who want to make use of niqab in your countries and the like should be allowed. But say, no, it is not allowed in this country. And you say there is freedom. So when you now go to the Arab world, for instance, now, and their own ruler say what? Moving naked is not allowed. See, you see, people are mutashaddidun. Are you not mutashaddidun in your own country? Somebody wants to put on the club, you say no. And these people in their own country, they say no, nobody should watch, walk naked. You say, well, they are mutashaddidun. So all these things, we have to think over them. Don't just be somebody who just be following them when they are shouting. They have what? A target. As a Muslim, be proud of your religion. This is not something that is new. A woman puts on the niqab doesn't mean what she cannot excel in life. And she does, that doesn't mean that what she cannot do anything. She can be medical doctor, she can be, she can do a lot of things. And if there is need for her to take off the niqab in a situation, yes, it is permissible for her to take the niqab off. This the Sheikh mentioned. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. وَيُنَا النِّسَاءُ عَنْ وَصْلِ الشَّعْرِ وَعَنِ الْوَشْمِ. And it is forbidden for the women to do wasl al-sha'r, to attach their hair. وَعَنِ الْوَشْمِ, and to also do washmi, something of a tattooing. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called al-wasilat wal-mustawsilat, those who are doing attachment for people, and those who are going to them so that they can attach something to the air. This is what forbidden, whether real air or synthetic, whether real air, whether they are using another person's air or they are using that of animal to attach to it, or is what synthetic that they are using, it is haram. The woman should not join another air to us, whether synthetic or real one. And that is why it is reported in hadith of in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Jabir, Jabir said, what Zajar Rasulullah Sallam and Tesla Mara to be Sharia Shia. It's not Allah reprimanded that a woman joined anything to Ayah. And this is why the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that this trait that they use, that women cannot use it to plait their hair. It's not permissible to do that according to the majority of the scholars. Some said it is what? It is the hair. Maybe the synthetic or the real leather. But as for this trait, that this is permissible. But Allah alam, to be on the safe side, it is good for a woman to go away from the use of this trait. So let her use some other things. Some will say, what, they want to soften their hair. It is permissible for them to use some cream or some soap to soften that. Contrary to what some people who do not have much knowledge of the deen are talking, particularly in our own society here. Huh? The scholars, they did not kick against a woman using something to soften her hair. Ibn Qayyim, it is a book, At-Tibb an-Nawawi, which is a volunteer of Zad al-Ma'ad, talked about the benefit of hulba, I think. So he was talking about that if hulba is used, yuja'idu, tuja'idu sha, it makes the air curly. If hulba is used to treat the air. So, and there are fatwa scholars, there is nothing wrong with that. Some will say, okay, it's changing the texture of the air. If you use cream, won't it affect the air? Even if you use a coconut oil, it's going to what? It's going to affect the air a bit. And the air that has been touched, another one will grow. And that one what will get is the... So it's just is a beautification. Unlike someone who is bleaching his body, that one is haram. But the air, there is nothing wrong with this. But the use of thread to plait it, these most scholars, they kick against it because of the hadith of Jabir, Zajar al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Tesla bi-Rasi Ashiyam. So likewise, the tattooing is also forbidden. It's not something one should do. So it is not allowed. And falling under this tattooing is this mark that we do the driver's qualification, or what do you call it? So this is not allowed in the deen at all. It's not allowed in the deen. So if you are giving women the mark so that you can differentiate the person who comes from this tribe, from this tribe. So all this to fall under what? Washing. It is wrong in the Sharia. For those that have been done, that is, as most of us are affected. So that is what Afa Allah wa Amma Salam. But for you to not do it for your children, saying, this is my father, will not accept that. Don't stick to that. Let your father know that this is something that is against Islam and that we must not do. Allahu A'lam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك
ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله وعليه وعلى اصحابه اجمعين وبارك Now the question, if a woman is using niqab, if a woman using niqab is walking in heavy rain and cloudy weather, can she remove the niqab just for a brief period to get to the place that she's going, so that when you insult her, she begins to use the niqab?
Naam, alhamdulillah, salatu salam ala rasulillah. But from what has been said, there shouldn't be any tashaddud or anything at all. The woman that is using the niqab, if there is a need for her to take off the niqab, or to adjust the niqab in such a way that will make her see better, it's because of the cloudy weather and things like that. So this is clear. So the Sheikh mentioned the issue of what? The issue of, what did he say? The uzur of what? The shahada, to testify. If she wants to testify, they must know the person who is testifying against somebody and the one who is being testified against. So she won't come and say, what, I'm a munakaba, so I'm so and so person inside. then is it a must that they must bring the woman to look at her? It's not a must. And that's why the Sheikh said, watch, labasa nyaraha. So if there's watch, there is necessity for that. So necessity is different. So one should also not do an actor going overboard where something is that a woman can't see well because of the clouding, whatever, and what she are just because well, that is not wrong Islamically. But if there is no need for that adjustment, then she should not adjust it. So when there is need for her to adjust the niqab to see well, or to take it off if there is need for that. So all these who fall under what necessity is, Allah.
Okay, now this person is asking, I want to know the ruling regarding the sister seeing a male radiographer to do x-ray. And secondly, is it permissible for a sister to remove a hijab in public transport due to it and its internal stomach disease?
Now, a woman that wants to see a radiographer and that person is a male, the first thing she should look for is female. But if she cannot find the only person available is a male, then she can take off the niqab. But that test must not be carried out between just both of them in seclusion, as I've mentioned. So there must be a third party there, maybe a co-female, or maybe a husband, a father, and things like that. But for both of them to just be in seclusion, this is wrong. This is wrong. But as for taking off the niqab for something like this, so there is nothing wrong in that. This would be the kind of necessity for Allah Ta'ala. Now in public bus, I think that is clear. It's not allowed. We should remember what the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said concerning a woman taking off her garment in other than what her house. فَقَدْ هَتَكَتْ أَتْسِتْرَ بَيْنَ أَوْلِينَ اللَّهِ. She had torn the screen between her and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So some of these things, some women want to hide under them, but they are not genuine excuses. Some women are not interested in what, in putting on the niqab or putting on jilbab. So they are looking for excuses to what, to take off the jilbab. So they should fear Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Wa Ta'ala.
Let's ask you, how can someone start the use of niqab?
Now one should, it's something that is simple. If one, you move with those who make use of niqab, and you love the laws of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you admire the pious predecessors who use it, those who are using it today, you also love them. When you move with them for some time, for a while, you watch. You want to join them. Just like somebody who is moving with the Indian hemp smokers. It's likely to watch to also smoke. Moving with drunkards, it's likely to watch. But you want to use niqab, and those that you have taken as friends that you are moving, there is no niqab among them. So it's like what? You want to carry a mountain on yourself. So it will be difficult for you. But once you keep company of those who are making use of it, one day just see yourself deciding that, okay, I want to use it. So the company that you keep matters a lot. Now, we are not saying that you cannot move with those who are not using niqab. Please don't get it wrong. But if you want to make use of niqab, and which is good for you, it does not affect your academic whatever, it doesn't affect your life. So move with those who are using, take them as friends. So inshallah, it will be easy for you to do. Somebody may start with what, maybe using at times, taking off at times, using it at times, taking it off at times. So eventually, what, she will get it used to it. So Allah. Now, what about the parents? Maybe the parents, we know the factor of the parents, that a lot of parents will kick against this. So one has to move gently with them as well. Some people, their parents do not have any problem with you using the call. They have a parent like that, welcome it easily. And some parents, not even the call hijab, that is the jilbab, they will not accept. So such a person, such a lady should know how to carry the parents along. Somebody who is married, for instance, now, our own case is what? It's clear. You're under a husband. So the problem that we're having is if your husband is not somebody that really understands the deen or loves the deen, that would be a different case. But if the husband understands, so it is easy for somebody who is married. For somebody who is not married, there may be difficulty of the parents. So this is another thing that you ought to take into consideration. So when we are making use of niqab, so wallahu a'lam.
Those that call themselves Malikiya, Al Shafi'iya, and the like, are they also Salafi? Then lastly, is contract marriage allowed in Islam?
Now those who call themselves Malikiya, are they Salafi? Those who call themselves Shafi'iya, are they Salafi? Malikiya is an attribution to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala had fiqh positions, and these fiqh positions, some people they take to the fiqh positions, some they also expand the positions on some issues, so they are called the Malikiya. Now some of their positions are not correct, because they go against some text of the Salafi Salih, maybe a hadith, or they go against some of the fiqh of the companions and things like that. But these people, they have decided that they want to follow the line of understanding of Imam Malik, the line of understanding of Imam Shafi, like that. So they will be called what? Malikiya, Shafi'iya. Imam Malik used to watch, try to be a Maliki. He never told anybody to be a Maliki or to be a Shafi. But it's just like somebody studying under another person or reading the works of another person. He will get what? Used and influenced by most of the positions taken by that particular person. So if you want to condemn Malikiya, for instance, now, you condemn so many things. How? Take for instance now, somebody who is used to the works of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, it takes to most of his positions on fiqh, on hadith. Are we going to call him Albaniya? The one who takes to the fiqh of Sheikh Ibn Baz in most issues of fiqh, we say what? Baziya, Utsaymaniya, like that, Muqbiliya, things like that. So the fact that you are convinced of the position of a particular sheikh doesn't mean what? You have become heretic. But one can become heretic when you see that the position of that particular sheikh goes against the Quran and the Sunnah, or the Quran or the Sunnah goes against the fiqh of the Salaf al-Salih. Maybe the companions, they go this way and the particular sheikh is going this way, and you say, no, this is what I will do. No, though I know that so-and-so, the Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, they have said this, but no, my sheikh cannot make a mistake. So it becomes something that is what? That is blameworthy there. But there is nobody on the surface of the earth. You have your sheikh, and you'll be influenced by his writings and his watch, his speech. There is nobody on the surface of the earth. When you look at the work of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, Ibn Qayyim most of the time, he follows the position of his watch, of Ibn Taymiyyah. Because that is the Sheikh. So, but because it's not someone who's a blind follower, you will disagree with him at times. The same thing, the students of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, they follow his position in authentication of hadith, in fiqh at times. They follow his position in most issues. But at times they disagree with him on some issues. I know this is what our Sheikh said, but no, this is not correct. So this is what? This is not a blind follower. But ordinarily, you tend to tilt towards the position of your teacher. But the evil is when you know that your teacher is wrong, for you to say you are not going to follow the truth, so your teacher cannot be wrong. So there are somewhat blind followers among the Malikiyya, the Shafi'iyya, the Anafiyya, Baliyya, like that. Like this book that you are reading now, the author will disagree with the position of the general view of the Malikiyya on some issues. He will disagree and establish what he is convinced with. Now if it's okay, you are not going to read this book. Now we are looking for a book that is all that is better than this. Which book is better than this? Any book that is book of Masail, you know, this is book of Masail, book that, okay, it is but it is good to do this, it's not good to do this. What is the evidence? The Sheikh has not brought the evidence yet. So you will look at the evidence, look for the evidence of what the Sheikh has what said. This are called what book of Masail. They tell you this is not to make things easy for you. Unlike book like what? Umdat al-Ahkam, they are giving you hadith. Mulukh al-Maram giving you hadith. Then you have to what? Look at the meaning of the hadith. The two ways you can use in learning what? The deen. Whether you are reading hadith, then the meaning of those hadith are being what? Explained. Or you are reading some things that are aside that people have already taken a position. Then the position, what is the evidence that they rely on taking and taking that position? Now, if you say, okay, this book, Ar-Risala of Ibn Abi Sayyid, no, it's book of what? Of Maliki, I'm not going to read it. Which one do you want to read? You want to read that of what? Of Ash-Shawkani. Ad-Durar al-Bahiyya. Yes, we have treated the book Durar al-Bahiyya. But if you follow Durar al-Bahiyya, that is what? That is another matter. Whether the author claims that what? He relies on ahadith and what? Is not what the prophet. There will be some issues that he has also taken position on that his positions are not. So you are reading another fiqh of Mazhab just as you are reading not of what? Let's assume, for instance, Mumbaz writes book of Masail, for instance, now Masail. That is another what? Another Mazhab. So now the question, are they Salafis or not? So this can be judged in accordance with what? If they see the truth and refuse to watch, to accept the truth, then they cannot watch Salafi on that. But if they see the truth, they leave what they have been saying before, then they remain watch. I hope it is clear. A scholar today may take a position and what? Maybe in the next 2 years his position will change because he sees something that is stronger. This happens to almost everybody. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala will establish some positions. Later he will change his position. One may not say that there is contradiction. No. One may say, why is it that the Sheikh is saying? It happens to you yourself. Because you cannot have the knowledge of the deen once. You'll be making progress gradually. So, and what you have said today, what you say tomorrow will be contrary to what you have said today based on what is clear to you now. So this is something that you can. Don't say the Malikiyya are not Ahl-Sunnah, the Shafi'i are not Ahl-Sunnah. So this is the utterance of those who do not have understanding of the deen. But there are those who that you can say they are not Ahl-Sunnah among them because of what the tashaddud. Now, in addition to that, what you used to say somebody is Ahl-Sunnah is not only the issue of fiqh. It is what issues of aqidah. You have to look at the masail, the usul of Ahl-Sunnah. Those who go against those usul, they are not Ahl-Sunnah. So Allah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك